Father, we thank you that your word is powerful and it has the ability to transform and change our lives. I pray today as we look at your word that you would speak right into each one of our hearts and help us to renew our thinking and to live lives in the freedom to which you've called us to. In Jesus' most precious name I pray. Amen. We're beginning the four essential F words series. And I'm going to seek to decode four essential F words. The first one being forgiveness. And then we're going to look at favor, failure, and then finance. There are so many F words we could have looked at, but I've picked four essential ones. All right? You might be thinking, why am I not talking about faith? Well, we covered that last week. But today we're going to be looking at forgiveness. And forgiveness is such an important aspect of our lives and learning how we have been forgiven by God and how we need to learn to forgive one another. And also one other person that's really important that you need to learn to forgive. We're going to be looking at that as well. All right. Now, a minister parked his car in a no parking zone in a large city because he was short of time and couldn't find a space with a meter. Now, I know in India we don't tend to have parking meters, but everywhere else in the world you will have a parking meter. So he put a note under the windshield wiper that read, "I have circled this block 10 times. If I don't park here, I'll miss my appointment." And in bold capital letters, "Forgive us our trespasses." He was a minister, so he knew the Lord's Prayer. When he returned, he found a citation from a police officer along with this note. "I've circled this block for 10 years. If I don't give you a ticket, I will lose my job. Lead us not into temptation." All right. Now, we all love to be forgiven, don't we? But don't we find it so hard to forgive? If you can remember the last time you fell out with somebody over something, big or small, and you reconciled and that person forgave you, it is such a great, overwhelming feeling to know that there is no guilt, there is nothing that's held against you. Your record is swiped clean. And I want us to go to the book of John chapter 8, where Jesus tells this amazing, he narrates this amazing story, a reality in the life of a woman and some extreme religious people. And this is probably the greatest depiction of forgiveness that we find in the many stories that are there in the New Testament. John chapter 8, I'm reading from verse 1. "But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. At dawn, he appeared again in the temple courts where all the people gathered around him. And he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery." Isn't that amazing? "They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, 'Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery.'" Not that she was just an adulteress, she was caught in the act. "In the law of Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now, what do you say?" They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. "But Jesus went down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him," I mean, can you see this whole picture? Here they are, these extremely religious people, you know, dynamic religious people, questioning the authority of Jesus here and wanting his wisdom on something that was so simple. If you sinned according to the law of Moses, there is a consequence, and that too adultery. And you see Jesus bending down. Can you see this whole picture? Jesus bending down amongst all these people, accusing this woman and wanting, demanding, heckling him for an answer. Let me tell you, it wasn't a nice sort of, "Jesus, could you please give us an answer?" It was shouting and screaming, "Oh, you know, you say you're a wise man. Come on, tell us, what should we do to this woman?" This whole scene was happening here. And Jesus quietly bends down and begins to write on the ground with his finger. "When they kept questioning him, he straightened up and said to them," I love this, "Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her. Again he stopped, stooped down, and wrote on the ground. It was customary, according to the law of Moses, that if somebody sinned, was caught, had been adulterous, or had been caught in the act of adultery, they were to be stoned to death. Vicious, violent way to end somebody's life. Jesus, knowing the law of Moses, right into this situation, steps in and does something that throws all of these spiritual leaders completely out of sync. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left, with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now and live your life and leave your life of sin." Jesus frees her, not from the act of adultery, because she had already committed the sin. But what did he say? He said, "Go now and leave your life of sin." So he was pardoning what she had done, but was also asking her to live her life free from that sin. That sin that she was in had brought condemnation. It had brought guilt. It had brought public shame upon her life, the consequences of which she was facing. Jesus challenged the status quo, and he set her free, not by punishing her, but by allowing her to go free. You with me? Every one of us has sinned and is in need of forgiveness. At some point in our lives, we have had to endure the trauma, the sadness of being hurt by somebody. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Everyone shaking their head. More than often, it's usually by somebody that's close to you. You know, if a bus conductor upsets you, you're mad for a few seconds, you jump off the bus and you've probably forgotten about it. But if it's your mom, if it's your sister, your brother, your father, your uncle, someone that's close to you that's upset you, those hurts and those pain, it lingers. Understanding that you are forgiven is liberating. However, having to forgive, finding the courage to face that person again, can be one of life's greatest challenges. When someone you care about hurts you, you can hold on to anger, resentment, bitterness, thoughts of revenge. I mean, come on, haven't you ever had those thoughts? If I see them again, when you're lying in bed and you're thinking of the consequence of your fallout, you're thinking of ways that you can get back at them. Doesn't that make you feel good? Come on, stop being so religious, all right? What's worse is that we move from resentment, bitterness, and revenge to hate. We begin to hate that person or that situation that has caused us the pain and the hurt. But living in that zone of unforgiveness is like you breathing in carbon dioxide and hoping to live. We survive on oxygen. Give CO2 to any of us, and it would not take long for us to die. On the other hand, when you embrace forgiveness, when you find the courage and the grace to forgive, you breathe life into your life, and you are able to liberate yourself. On the Living Free course at Life in the Spirit every Thursday night, we're looking at ways how we can deal with life's issues that keep us bound, and identifying what those issues are. And through ministry of the Word, and also through discussion, and also through prayer and connecting with God, people are being set free from those issues that have contained and held on to them. You see, is forgiveness an emotional experience? Is forgiveness something that you do because you now feel good about forgiving somebody? Is forgiveness something you do because it is expected of you? Is forgiveness something you do because, you know, if you don't do it, you know, log kya bolenga? What will people say? You're a Christian, you read your Bible, you go to church, you lift your hands up, you follow Jesus, and is this how you live your life? Well, take a look around at the body of Christ. Lewis Smith said, "To forgive is to set a prisoner free and to discover that the prisoner was you." Forgiveness is a decision, a choice that you make to let go of resentment and thoughts of revenge. To let go of the hate that you carry in your heart. The act or person that hurt or offended you might always remain a part of your life. But forgiveness can lessen its grip on you and help you focus on other positive parts of your life. Forgiveness can even lead to feelings of understanding, empathy, and compassion for the one who hurt you. There are stories upon stories of people who have been through very traumatic experiences. I mean, maybe for many of us, our greatest trauma is somebody being nasty or rude to us or disappointing us or letting us down. But there are situations where people have lost relationship because somebody has been killed, and where they have reconciled and forgiven the one that killed their loved one. I mean, that is a tremendous amount of forgiveness to find in your heart. Not to hate and not to hold resentment. The song that we're going to play later on, which is Forgiveness by Matthew West, it's a fairly new song. Later on, you're going to hear this. And the context of this song is a young mother whose children were annihilated in a car crash. And she went and forgave the guy who killed them. And now she travels around talking to people, letting them know how liberating it is to forgive, even though half your family has been wiped out. I mean, come on. It is amazing. She finds understanding, empathy, and compassion for the very one who hurt her. Your decision to forgive will bring your emotions to a positive state. Forgiveness is not an emotional, "Ooh, I feel good, I'm going to forgive." Forgiveness is a hardcore decision that you and I make or take in any given situation where we need to forgive. Forgiveness doesn't mean that you deny the other person's responsibility for hurting you. And it doesn't minimize or justify the wrong. You know, the greatest challenges, if you're really honest with me, in forgiving, is that you feel like if you forgive, that person goes off scot-free. Don't you just want them to feel the pain that you feel? Don't you want them to feel the hurt that you feel, that you carry? What happens usually when somebody has offended us or hurt us? Typically, that person is smiling, living life, sleeping well. You, on the other hand, tormented by negative thoughts, emotions, feelings, pictures, hatred, everything that you should not carry. And when you see that person, it just gets worse, isn't it? When you think of that person, it's so unfair. I want them to feel what I feel. I want them to go through another sleepless night just like I did. Come on, guys. Isn't that where we're at very often? When the trauma is very great? When the disappointment is very deep? You can forgive the person without excusing the act. You see, God forgives us of any sin that we might do. He forgives us. But the act is something that we are responsible for. You with me? Forgiveness brings a kind of peace into your life that helps you to go on to live life well. So here are three clear pictures of forgiveness that I want to put before you. And the first one is this. We've got to receive God's forgiveness. Psalm 103 verse 8, it says, "The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will He harbor His anger forever." Which means God does get angry. He does not treat us as our sins deserve. That woman should have been stoned to death. But He never treated her as her sins deserved. "Or repay us according to our iniquities or our sin. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. So far as to the east is from the west, so far has He removed the transgressions from us." That is a powerful mental image for us to get. When you go to God and you ask Him to forgive you, whatever your sin is, the Bible clearly says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. Isn't that wonderful? The Bible says Jesus became sin for us. So the sin, the punishment that we should endure for our sin was put upon Jesus when He was sacrificed and crucified on the cross. So every account, record of sin for all generations was laid upon Him. So as when He was crucified, when He died on the cross for our sin, we did not have to bear the price of sin because Jesus paid it for us. But we can take the benefit of the freedom from the guilt, shame, condemnation that the act of sin brings upon us. Isn't that good? You see, to our rational minds, that doesn't make sense. Because we are preconditioned for cause, effect, and consequence. If somebody slaps you, it is almost instinctive for you to do what? Maybe even with your Bible, boom, for greater effect. "I love you in the love of the Lord." But the Bible says, if somebody slaps you on your left cheek, give them your right. If somebody takes your jacket, give them your shirt as well. So, Jesus came to set us free from the condemnation and the guilt of our sin and forgives us of all sin. There is no sin. Everybody say, there is no sin that Jesus cannot forgive. There is no sin on this earth at all. Nothing. Somebody said to me, "Would Jesus have forgiven Hitler?" I said, "If He's forgiven you, why would He not forgive Hitler?" "But I didn't do what Hitler did." I said, "Really?" I said, "You've never hated somebody? You've never wished ill against somebody?" "Oh yeah, yeah, but I didn't kill anybody." I said, "The Bible says if you think hateful thoughts against your brother, it's as good as murder." "But I didn't kill that many." I said, "God doesn't see sin in quantitative terms. Sin is sin. You with me? Whether I break a traffic light and break the law, which is sin, or I bomb a place, which is sin, taking other people's lives. God is not looking at the quantitative terms of our sin. He looks at sin as an act of disobedience against His nature and His character. You with me? So, no matter what our sin, isn't that good to know God can forgive us? So if Hitler, by any chance, before, however he died, we're not too sure how he died, if he had truly repented of his sin, you just might see him in heaven. That's quite a picture. That's quite a picture. If the recent terrorist bomber who was hanged had somewhere met somebody the few hours before he was hanged and really asked God to forgive him, God would have forgiven him. That's how merciful and gracious Jesus is. Hear with me. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, and it says, "The blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin." Isaiah 55:7 says, "Let the wicked forsake their ways, and let the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and He will have mercy on us, and to our God, for He will freely pardon us. Forgiveness means to pardon. It means to let go of, to set free, to remove the guilt resulting from the wrongdoing. When God forgives us, the event of wrongdoing is not undone. But the guilt and the shame, the condemnation for such an event is pardoned. Are you with me? Which is why there's one thing where we must receive God's forgiveness into our lives. And today is an opportunity, if you've never come before God and asked Him, Jesus, to forgive you of all your sin, the very nature of sin within you, then today is an opportunity that you have to do just that. The second thing is to release forgiveness to others. Now that you have received forgiveness and pardon for your sin, the Bible invites us to release forgiveness to others. When wrong has been done to you, offense, bitterness, hurt, rejection, disappointment, and even depression can overtake your life. You know what I'm talking about? Like a cancerous tumor, unforgiveness becomes critically lethal. Unforgiveness is lethal. And many of us walk around with this spirit of unforgiveness. And it has now become part of us. It is something that we have accepted to be the norm. And we have developed a coping mechanism around our emotions and feelings. And we kind of live on survival mode. I don't know if you've seen those critically ill patients that walk around with oxygen tanks. Have you seen them? Tubes in their nose, oxygen tanks in their hand. Wherever they go, they carry that oxygen tank. When you carry unforgiveness, you're not carrying oxygen in that tank, you're carrying CO2. And you're breathing that in all the time. And occasionally you pull it up, take a breath of fresh air and stick it back in. And you're wondering, why is life so hard? Why is it that my relationships don't work? Why is it that I don't have peace? Why is my mind so cluttered and confused? The more we hold on to it, the bigger and the stronger the spirit of unforgiveness becomes. The more it becomes anchored in you, the more resolve you have not to resolve the situation. It robs you of your peace. It robs you of your sanity and leaves you in emotional turmoil. Now, you say, but you know, I don't have any big issues. Now, let me just say again, offense, hurt, pain, it's not always the intensity of something. It's the fact that you have been hurt. You have learned to respond in a way. We develop a habit of unforgiveness. Everybody say, I can develop a habit of unforgiveness. So whatever the situation, whether somebody hits you really hard or somebody just taps you, your response and how you carry that hurt and pain can almost be the same. You need to understand that in developing that habit of how you handle hurt, if you struggle with handling hurt, it means you have a habit not of life-giving, but of life-taking. It takes your life, it takes other people's life. Not literally, but it robs you of the joy of living. Someone once said, if people learned to forgive, our psychiatric institutions would have 75 less people in them. Amazing statistic. If people just learned to forgive. So many, as we've in our life of many years, over, 25 years of pastoring people, we have seen those that have chosen not to forgive still struggling. And we have seen those that have worked through the pain and the hurt and come into their realization of how life-giving forgiveness is, forgive, and seeing how their lives have moved on and up into greener pastures. When someone has hurt you, it is usually a sign of weakness. It's not a sign of strength. When we hold on to that hurt, we are allowing their weakness to become ours. When you forgive, you are strong. Say that with me. When I forgive, I am strong. Many people teach us forgiveness is a weak thing. Don't forgive. Go back. Hit them just as hard. In fact, double it, triple it. Repay them. It's a greater strength not to hit back It's a weakness to strike. So when you forgive, you are strong. When you don't forgive, you are wrong. Just a nice rhyme. When Jesus asked us to forgive, it was only so that we might have life. Remember, you don't forgive someone for his sake or her sake, but you forgive them for your sake, so you can move on, so you can set yourself free from whatever the trauma, hurt has been. Matthew chapter 6, verse 12 to 15 says, "And forgive us our debts," this is from the Lord's Prayer, "as we have also forgiven our debtors." So forgive us our sins, God, as we have forgiven those that have sinned against us. "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sin, your Father will not forgive your sin." Now here Jesus is not talking about the forgiveness of sin once and for all, but it's talking about now that you have been saved and living in relationship with God, when you hold on to unforgiveness, that becomes a restriction in your relationship with God. Remember last week, last series, you talked about the barricades and the barriers and the walls that we build. This becomes a hindrance in our relationship with God and with others. Colossians chapter 3 verse 13 says, "Bear with each other." Here's the thing. We'd love to have perfect people around us, wouldn't you? People that don't irritate you, people that don't upset you, people just like you. I mean, I'm so nice. I never upset anybody. Isn't it, honey? When was the last time you were upset with me? We have this kind of bubble picture of ourselves, and you know, we expect everybody else to be just like us. But the Bible doesn't say, you know, it says love one another, but it also says tolerate people. Read, it's in the Bible. Some people you can love, some people you just got to put up with them. But you got to forgive them in putting up with them. It says bear with each other and forgive one another. You with me? So bear, put up with this guy's crazy behavior, her losing her cool every 20 seconds. Bear up with her. Forgive her. If any of you has a grievance against, just a few people, against someone, anyone, forgive as the Lord forgave you and you will be forgiven. You with me? So that liberates you. Just as you have been forgiven, so you should forgive. It is easy loving those you love. Haven't you discovered that? But it's sure hard finding the capacity to love those you hate. Can you think of a few people on your list? Your hate list? Come on, guys. When you hold resentments towards another, you are bound to that person, to that situation, to that condition by an emotional link that is stronger than steel. Forgiveness is the only way to dissolve that link and get free. Catherine Ponder said that. So we can set ourselves free from these unhealthy, life-taking emotional links when we forgive. Can you think of somebody right now that you need to forgive? Not that you need to wait for them to forgive you. Not that you want to see them squirm and go through the consequences of whatever they may have done to you. But are you willing to just upfront go and forgive them? The third thing you need to do is to remember, and this is really important, this is where many of us struggle, is remembering to forgive yourself. We need to receive God's forgiveness, release forgiveness to others, and thirdly, remember to forgive yourself. When we have done something wrong, when we have wronged somebody, shame and guilt, regret and condemnation govern our emotional lives. We feel sorry for what we have done. Sometimes we don't, but usually we do. The shame of our wrongdoing, the guilt associated with it, and the condemnation that follows it is what keeps us bound. You need to learn the art of forgiving yourself. Rehearsing what could have been is never the route to take. Instead, know that God loves you and that He forgives you. And in forgiving yourself, you set yourself free to forgive and also to be forgiven. Many of us struggle with forgiving ourselves, and therefore we struggle even to receive forgiveness from God, because we say, God, I'm not good enough. I have messed up so much. And we almost enjoy the self-pity party that we have. We bring out the birthday cake and the lights and everything and rehearse the situation, and you're saying, oh, woe is unto me, I'm such a useless person, I'm such a failure at life, I am just so full of wrongdoing. We have got to learn to forgive ourselves in those specific situations. Psalm 130 verse 4 says, but with you there is forgiveness. Why? So that we can with reverence serve you. When you live in a zone of unforgiveness, where you have not forgiven yourself for something you should have done, where you're living in regret, where there is regret in your life, on any situation, big or small, here's what I want to suggest to you as we're talking about this whole issue of forgiveness. I hope that you are identifying these areas in your life. And as we share communion, you're going to have an opportunity to go before God, to receive His forgiveness, and to reconcile, and to make good the unforgiveness in your life. Colossians chapter 2 verse 13 says, when you were dead in your sins, and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. So, our life in Jesus is not just because of what we do. It is what God has done for us. While we were yet sinners, the Bible says, Christ died for us. You with me? So God's not looking for you to perfect yourself to come to Him. God just wants you to come to Him as you are. And in that coming to Him is where you experience the grace of God and the empowering of God for you to live your life in forgiveness. In closing, I want to remind us that there is no sin that God does not forgive. Christ's death atoned for all our sin. It's paid the price for every one of our sins. The only sin that remains unforgiven is the one that is not repented of. You with me? But on the other hand, God calls us to intimacy with Himself. He wants us in relationship with Him. And sin cannot be in His presence any more than darkness can be in the presence of light. If you are in that place where you feel like your relationship with God is hindered, where your relationship with people is challenging, ask yourself, is there any unforgiveness in my life? Are there people that I need to forgive? Do I need to seek forgiveness from God? Do I need to maybe forgive myself for the wrong things that I have done? Let's pray. Father, we thank You for forgiveness. Thank You for forgiving us when You sent Jesus to die on the cross. In His death, and His resurrection is the forgiveness of all our sin and the certainty of new life and the certainty of eternity with You. I want to give us, any of us here, the opportunity. If you have never asked Jesus to forgive you of all your sin, if you have never been at a point in your life where you've come to God and say, God, forgive me for all the wrong that I have done. Today I want to give you that opportunity to come before Jesus. He will take away all your sin, and in replace He will give you a new life and the promise of eternity. If you're here this morning and you want to receive that new life in Jesus, it's as simple as that. You come before Him, ask Him to forgive you, and receive His forgiveness and His love for you. I'm going to lead you in a very simple prayer. And if you've never said this prayer before, if you mean it from the bottom of your heart, earnestly, then God will do something supernatural in your life today. Jesus, say this with me, everybody. Jesus, I thank you that you died on the cross for me. I thank you for forgiving me of all my sin. And today I ask you to come into my life. I choose to follow you. I receive your forgiveness. I receive your unconditional love for me. And I choose to live my life for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I really find difficult about forgiveness is to be able to see the person every time and not remember what they have done to me.
The one thing I find difficult about forgiveness is letting go.
What I find difficult about forgiveness is making the choice to forgive.
Forgiveness is about forgetting. And the last just thing to put it on your simply, mind today, if you forgive, it always you goes forget, to those who don't deserve, and you believe that God can restore everything back.
It's the opposite of how you feel when the pain they cause is just too real. Takes everything you have to say the word forgiveness.